9:33 on this Friday morning. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. 8 hours before a Kent man took his own life, his girlfriend had called police for help. Her boyfriend had written a suicide note threatening to kill himself, but instead of visiting his apartment, an officer called and left a voicemail. No medics or mental health crisis counselors went to the home either, and when families arrived at the man's home, they found that he had shot himself with a handgun. So we want to find out what happened. In body cam video obtained by King 5 News, Kent police officers can be heard blaming the man's death on Washington's new policing laws, which went into effect only 6 hours prior to that 911 call for help.
It's a shame they put new laws in place. It could have helped them. Well, thanks, legislators.
Thanks, legislators. There have been a number of recent cases where police say their hands have been tied, and so we want to go look into this further. And joining us now on the G and Ursula Show is Kent Police Chief Rafael Padilla. Good morning, Chief.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. So in that body cam video, you can hear your officers discussing the new policy that you had put into place responding to House Bill 1310, which was aimed at reducing police use of force in interactions with mentally ill or suicidal people. What is the policy that you crafted? What did you tell your officers to do in this kind of a situation?
Right. So I want to start by acknowledging and reaffirming how police reform laws came about and supported, right? I think that's important to state. Clearly, there were instances in law enforcement where there needed to be changes in terms of our operations, because of use of force issues, particularly deadly use of force and systemic racism. You know, we acknowledged that, we listened to it, we met with our community with humility and sincere desire to get better and to improve, and then we got to work on these things. And I want to make it really clear, we embrace these changes, we support the laws, the vast majority of them are going to have the positive impacts that were intended. So really what we're talking about are about maybe four main issues in the laws that we need as law enforcement further clarification and direction so that we can meet the expectations of our community. Because I will tell you, there is a disconnect from what the community expects will be the response from the law enforcement officers and what the new laws actually require us to do now. So I want to put that out there. 90% of the changes that we've implemented in Kent, and I can speak for some of the Valley agencies in South King, we implemented well before July 25th. The other thing I want to put into place is that the procedure of not forcing a confrontation with an armed suicidal subject was something we had in place before the law. So it is a mischaracterization to say that this entire outcome is based on the new law. I think the new law is a contributing factor, which we can talk about.
Well, what did you tell your officers? Because they're actually heard on this body cam video mentioning the bill, and then you had crafted a policy. So what is it that they were operating under?
So I think they're referring to the document that we put out, which is the directive from me, as we adapted to the last pieces, like that 10%. I said that we were still waiting for confirmation on what to do from our legal and from some of, hopefully from the AG. They were referencing a document that I put out, which was directives on how to adjust to the new procedures based on what we interpreted the law to mean, based on our legal guidance. So they were referencing that. The comment specific to this incident, and I want to be really, really careful and respectful. There was a loss of life here, and it's easy to get caught up in the discussion and sound callous and cold. And I want to make it clear that's not my intent, and I don't want to come across that way, right? But I believe the officers were referencing the guidance that we put out, which is typical. We put out directive while we work to develop policy and training, because we're still in question. We still have questions about how do we really operationalize some of these laws, because they're unclear.
There was a loss of life, and the officers can clearly be heard saying that on their body cams. So when you yourself hear that, what are your thoughts on that?
My thought is I feel bad for everybody involved, like I said, the family, but I also feel bad for the officers. My officers, I got a call from one of the officers that was on scene of that incident, and he was distraught. He feels as though there's a failure in the ability to help people. because of the way we've steadily kind of approached, and it's not just the laws. I want to make it clear. There's case law and court rulings that really restrict how we do business in terms of helping people who are in crisis, right? And most of it's really good. Most of it is let's reduce the amount of force encounters, and those things. But there are other instances where sometimes the bottom line is to help someone, we got to get physical control of them, and that requires us to use force. And that's where the officers feel let down, because if they feel like if they make a mistake using force, they're going to be held to a standard where they won't be supported for trying to do the right thing. They got in this job because they want to help people. They want to save lives. And so for them, this is not a good – this doesn't work.
Sure. I have the text of the House Bill 1310 right here in front of me. And in this, I'm looking right at it. I don't see anything in this bill as I read it that prevents officers from responding to mental health crisis calls. So why the interpretation of the law in this way? Unless I'm missing, I'm looking at it right now. I don't see anything that says anything about responding to a mental health crisis call. Why was the interpretation of the law this way?
So, and it's, trust me, there's lots of legal advisors that have weighed in on this. And if you've noticed, there's been a request for clarification from the AG, and I know there's been guidance to put out. And it is correct, and I want to be real clear. There is nothing in the law that prevents officers from going to mental health crisis. But that's not the issue. The issue is that there's language in there that talks about only being able to use force. Okay, and I think there may be confusion because the law doesn't clearly define for this circumstance what force is. Right?
It says
that officers can use force if there's an imminent threat.
Okay.
So then the details of an imminent threat are what are at issue here. Define that for me. What does that look like? What is imminent? Is it immediate? Is it they have to take a significant step to show that they're dangerous? What is imminent? Because before, the law was that if a person posed a risk of safety to themselves or others, right? So pose means that we can look at this in a preventative way and say, okay, are they headed down a path where they may become dangerous and can we intervene? The way we have to look at imminent is it's almost as though to make sure that our officers don't get decertified and unemployed and sued, we have to look at it as, okay, does it mean immediate? Do we have to wait till they cause something dangerous before they take action? And that's where the officers are frustrated. They want to intervene before someone hurts themselves or others.
So basically you're talking about one word, the word imminent, in essence, that has changed it for you.
Huge.
Because again, I'm looking through this whole law, and it also says that if an officer's life or safety is threatened by a suicidal person, deadly force is allowed. So I still don't know. If I am living in the city of Kent, I want to know if I am with someone who is suicidal or I am suicidal myself, what do I do?
So we call and we try to bring resources, and that's a great question, Ursa. So let's be specific to the circumstances of this tragic incident. The person was alone in his house by himself, and we knew that he had access to a firearm. And we tried to reach out via phone. So I want to also, kind of a misunderstanding, is that when we have word that someone's in crisis and is armed, we don't walk up to the front door and knock. We put a phone call in, or we try to get on a loudspeaker. We don't put the officers in harm's way where they might be shot. And I will tell you, we have instances that happen every year where officers are shot at from people inside their homes. So long before the laws, it wasn't our protocol because of safety to just walk up to the door with someone's in crisis and is armed. So let's make sure that's clear. The other part of it is we try to bring in resources. We try to get them to come outside, and we are successful at that a lot of times. In this circumstance, for whatever reason, the deceased didn't answer his phone, didn't answer the call. And so now, how do our officers say that he's an imminent threat? We don't know what he's doing in that house.
Do you go
what
see?
Step is he taking?
Do you go visit?
In circumstances, he lives in an upstairs apartment. So that's the issue, right? To contact him, you have to go up to the front of the door. That's the issue.
Chief Padilla?
So it's a specific thing. But most times we're going to crisis calls. We go to crisis calls every day. And so it's not that we're not going anymore, but we're limited on how we approach it.
Chief Padilla, First of all, I want to say we appreciate you trying to explain this because we've heard a lot and we're not even scratching the surface right now. Can we invite you to continue our conversation after a commercial break?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that because I want to ask you, there are some, including the Washington Coalition for Police Accountability, who are saying that police are doing a disinformation campaign and this is all political. So I want you to respond to that, but we'll talk about that next right after the break. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. 9:49, you are listening to the G and Ursula Show, and we are breaking format here because we want to continue our conversation with Kent Police Chief Rafael Padilla. In case you're just joining us now, we are talking about a case where a suicidal man did end up taking his own life. This happened just 6 hours after Washington's new policing laws went into effect. His girlfriend had called police for help, said he had a gun, but instead of visiting the man's apartment, an officer called and left a voicemail. There were no medics or mental health crisis counselors there. And in body cam video that was obtained by King 5 News, Kent police officers could be heard blaming this man's death on Washington's new policing laws.
It's a shame they put new laws in place. We could have helped them. Well, thanks, legislators.
Chief Padilla, just to continue our conversation, the Attorney General has now issued guidance that says no officer will be held accountable for using any use of force during mental health calls. So it really feels like in this case, this may be a situation where you're kind of splitting hairs.
Well, it's important to remember that guidance came out after the laws were in place. So that's really appreciated now. And really, that's what you asked a question earlier about the comments that law enforcement executives were misleading the public. That's really what the issue is we are asking for further clarification and guidance. It's not a pushback at all. You know, we have done considerable work to embrace and adjust to the new laws, and we think there's great opportunity for reduced use of force incidents, reduce issues of disparate treatment, reduce non-law enforcement calls, additional accountability and oversight and transparency. There are great things coming out in these laws. So that's not the issue at all. The issue is we have these little points of contention. You mentioned, you know, one word. One word, that word is significant, particularly when we get into the civil liability realm, right?
The word imminent.
That one word makes, yeah, for imminent. It makes a difference as to whether or not we're going to be able to show that we were reasonable and we met the obligations of the law, because it's so undetermined what that means.
Chief, I'm trying not to be confused here, but here's where I'm a little confused. The officer said, thanks, legislators. And then, and also that they knew someone had a gun and they were lived by themselves, and there was a possibility of there was a threat to kill themselves, and no one went to go see if that threat was imminent, like that word is being talked about. In this case right here, do you think the right thing happened?
I think the outcome is not something that any of us want, right? So the other complicating part of this, and this we could have an hour discussion on this, so I'll try to keep it concise.
Okay.
Also impacting this, aside from the laws, and I want to make it clear, the new laws did not change the way we approach this problem, this issue, okay? We have court law in the Ninth Circuit that has been very clear and continuous, and it says law enforcement cannot cause the circumstance in which they needed to use force to help someone who's in crisis. So one of the things that we have to contemplate is if we do go there and this person decides that now, and it happens, as you are, unfortunately, you know, that they're going to pose a deadly threat and we respond, because we will have to respond with a deadly response. Now we're evaluated of, should you have even been there in the first place? Did you cause the circumstance that created and led the chain of events that ended in this person's death? And I will tell you, we are losing on that issue consistently. And our legal advisors are coming in and saying, you cannot force any action that may lead to someone, us having to use force on it, on a person when you can avoid it. That is the reality. And I think that's part of the confusion that's in there. Because I think people expect what you said, G, they expect us to go there and fix it like we try to do most times. But because of some of the bad outcomes, we've had to adjust to the new court ruling as well.
Thank you. we really appreciate you taking the time. This is Chief of Kent Police Department, Rafael Padilla. Thank you for your time, and thank you for continuing to stay on to give us explanations, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure. And, you know, I'm available. This isn't about pointing fingers. This is about getting good solutions in the laws, because we think there are good solutions to be had. And so I hope we can continue to have the conversation and get what our community needs from us.
No doubt about it. Chief of Kent Police Department, Rafael Padilla, thank you for your time. Coming up next, it is